excursions we made, my parents, my sister Olympia, and I, by boat, by carriage, or on the train. Enticements lay in every direction, for nature and human ingenuity had everywhere provided charms and delights for our enjoyment. I can still see my father in his comfortable, checked summer suit as we sat in the garden of some inn, a little way back from the table, because his paunch prevented him from drawing up close, immersed in his enjoyment of a dish of prawns washed down by golden wine. My godfather, Schimmelpriester, was often with us, keenly studying people and landscape through his big artist's glasses and absorbing both great and small into his artist's soul. My poor father owned the firm of Engelbert Kroll, makers of the now discontinued brand of champagne, Lorelei Extra Cuvée. Their cellars lay on the bank of the Rhine, not far from the landing, and often, as a boy, I used to linger in the cool vaults, wandering pensively along the stone-paved passages that led back and forth between the high shelves, examining the array of bottles which lay on their sides in slanting rows. "There you lie," I thought to myself, though of course at that time I could not give such apt expression to my thoughts. "There you lie in the subterranean twilight, and within you the bubbling golden sap is clearing and maturing, the sap that will enliven so many hearts and awaken a brighter gleam in so many eyes. Now you look plain and unpromising, but one day you will rise to the upper world magnificently adorned to take your place at feasts, at weddings, to send your corks popping to the ceilings of private dining rooms and evoke intoxication, irresponsibility, and desire in the hearts of men." So, or approximately so, spoke the boy. And this much at least was true. The firm of Engelbert Kroll paid unusual attention to the outside of their bottles, those final adornments that are technically known as the coiffure. The compressed corks were secured with silver wire and gilt cords fastened with purplish red wax. There was, moreover, an impressive round seal, such as one sees on ecclesiastical bulls and old state documents, suspended from a gold cord. The necks of the bottles were liberally wrapped in gleaming silver foil, and their swelling bellies bore a flaring label with gold flourishes round the edges. This label had been designed for the firm by my godfather Schimmelpriester, and bore a number of coats of arms and stars, my father's monogram, the brand name, Lorelei Extra Cuvée, all in gold letters, and a female figure arrayed only in bangles and necklaces, sitting with legs crossed on top of a rock, her arm raised in the act of combing her flowing hair. Unfortunately, it appears that the quality of the wine was not entirely commensurate with the splendour of its coiffure. "Kroll," I have heard my godfather, Schimmelpriester, say to my father, "with all due respect to you, your champagne ought to be forbidden by law. Last week I let myself be talked into drinking half a bottle, and my system hasn't recovered from the shock yet. What sort of vinegar goes into that brew? And do you use petroleum or fusel oil to doctor it with? The stuff's simply poison. Look out for the police." At this, my poor father would be embarrassed, for he was a gentle man and unable to hold his own against harsh criticism. "It's easy enough for you to laugh, Schimmelpriester," he would reply, gently stroking his belly with his fingertips in his usual fashion, "but I have to keep the price down, because there is so much prejudice against the domestic product. In short, I give the public something to increase its confidence. Besides, competition is so fierce, my friend, I'm hardly able to go on." Thus, my father. Our villa was a charming little estate on a gentle slope that commanded a view of the Rhine. The terraced garden was liberally adorned with earthenware gnomes, mushrooms, and all kinds of lifelike animals. On a pedestal stood a mirrored glass sphere, which distorted faces most comically. There were also an Aeolian harp, several grottos, and a fountain whose streams made an ingenious figure in the air, while silvery goldfish swam in its basin. As for the interior decoration of our house, it was, in accordance with my father's taste, both cosy and cheerful. Pleasant nooks offered repose, and in one corner stood a real spinning wheel. There were innumerable knick-knacks and decorations, conch shells, glass boxes and bottles of smelling salts, which stood about on étagères and velvet-covered tables.